Hello everyone, my name is Joe. I hope you enjoyed the snowman poem just a few moments ago. And it's a real joy to join you on camera sharing a couple of thoughts about the carol service now. I hope this finds you well from wherever you're watching the other side of your screens. I'm in York at the moment. I know Seb actually, who's with you presently at St Barnabas. And so, real joy to be able to join you. And I hope that whatever I'm about to share can bring some help, maybe even some hope for you. The other side of your screens. Now, I start with a little bit of a Christmas confession. When I was about 5 years old, I was utterly convinced that my dad was the Santa Claus. He concocted this whole story about him going up the stairs, going to the airing cupboard at the end of the landing, shutting the door, behind which he'd magically transform into Santa, fly all over the world, and deliver presents. And I bought this hook, line, and sinker. I remember reading a little Christmas story around the same time, and I turned to the page about Santa's name, and in it said that Santa's name was Saint Nick, and my dad's name is Nick. And like Sherlock, I was joining the dots, and oh my word, it's true, my dad is the Santa Claus. And you can imagine my dismay, can't you, when he turned round a few months later and said, "Actually, Joe, I'm not the Santa Claus. I'm just operating as part of a network of Santas across the south coast of England." Specifically West Sussex, which is a bit of a scale down, isn't it, in the Santa story stakes. But I bring up my dad and I bring up home because when we think of Christmas, most of us can't help but think of family, of home, can we? And perhaps this is because right at the heart of the original Christmas story is a family, is a homecoming. We see this in a line from another book. It's a book called John, found in the Bible, which we'll hear read to us a little bit later. But I'd love to just read a line of that to you now. And it's this: "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Wow. What on earth does that mean? And how is that about Christmas? Well, sometime after accepting Dad wasn't Santa anymore, I found myself 18 years old at university. And I remember one night of my Freshers' Week vividly. A bunch of us were all crammed in a college mate downstairs, Ben, his bedroom. His bedroom was downstairs. And we were hunched over Ben's laptop, watching the grainy image of a white-suited man gliding in mid-air down the screen. The man we were watching was Felix Baumgartner. He was an Austrian stunt artist, toppling his way at the time through the highest free fall skydive ever attempted. It took him 5 years to prepare for this world record jump, and he dropped from 127,852 feet. I remember there was a moment where the atmosphere fell into a bit of a tense lull in downstairs Ben's bedroom as we watched Felix suddenly spin more erratically. And the commentator came on the stream and said, "Oh no, Felix, we think has fainted." Unfortunately, he managed to regain consciousness, and after 4 minutes, 19 seconds of free fall, ridiculous, he managed to land this skydive after pulling his parachute in eastern New Mexico to break the world record. He became the first person outside of a vehicle to break the sound barrier. Crazy. It was an amazing feat and amazing to watch. Now, in a bit of a similar way, Jesus came down from the dizzying heights to become like us, to be with us, and to relate to us. That's what we see in this line. The Christmas story doesn't tell us that Jesus jumped out of a rocket plane to free fall to earth. That would be quite a different Christmas story. But the drop down he took was like nothing we could ever quite imagine. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God himself, the Word, took on skin and bone and blood as a human being and made his home amongst us. Forget falling from the edge of space. This Christmas story tells us that Jesus, God of the entire universe, including you and I and the world we inhabit, would humble himself from the heights of heaven to be born as a tiny baby. How's that for a drop? Just picture that first Christmas scene if you can. The God of the cosmos traveling in a womb from the slum town of Nazareth, born in the dark gloom of a bare straw Bethlehem stable as a refugee, the light of the whole world, so says this story about God, was laid first in a stinking animal feeding trough because there wasn't any room elsewhere. As a helpless, wriggling, gurgling, weeing baby that would need to be fed, changed, and taught to talk like any other, Is that how you imagine God to be? Particularly if you're with us and this is the first time you're exploring Christianity for yourself. Have you ever stopped to wonder just how ridiculous that is? The Jewish people actually expected their coming light of the world to be a powerful warring force of authority. It was totally against their idea of God for God to be born as a human. But Jesus came with no fanfare. He cared so much about human beings that he chose to become one. He took a record drop to relate to us. See, every other philosophy or religion might talk about a force or energy we should tune into out there, or a God out there somewhere that we can't really ever meet or know, but who might bless us enough if we spend time in its temples or follow his formulas of rituals and rules. Instead, Jesus Christ came to close that gap between him and us by stepping into the world and making his home among us. It would be a bit like if J.K. Rowling wrote herself into the Harry Potter stories to meet her character Harry, or something breaking into the snow globe to show life beyond the snowman's self-built horizons. In the same way, God stepped into the reality of being human, meaning we, anyone and everyone, from muddy shepherds to fancy wise men to stressed refugee parents, can have a connection, a living relationship with him. It makes God relatable. God took a record drop to relate to us. What a moment. Or is it? Is there actually anything more to be found in the Christmas story? Well, let me read out another line, just from a bit before the line we've just read. This is from verse 9 of John 1, and it says this: "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." The true light that comes into the world at Christmas time is already the light behind everything and everyone. In fact, the Christmas story shows us divine life breaking into our world in Jesus, who reveals a God that made a wonderful world with nothing wrong. And out of deep love, made you and I too, not as puppets on string, but as thinking, feeling people in his image with the freedom to enjoy it all in relationship with him. If we read on from that line in John, we get, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own." His own, that's us, you and I. Jesus came from his Father to be our brother. It's no wonder then, if we're a bit like him, that we, from time to time, have these rushes of feeling for something larger than life itself. We see it in our 2020 longings for justice causes, vaccine hopes, and for the world to return to normal. But maybe we see it most when we watch our fave films, read our favourite books, and settle down with Sky Sports come Boxing Day. It's that weird thing where you kind of see yourself in Spider-Man or Frodo's shoes as you get so swept up in the story of a Marvel or the Lord of the Rings that you so wish it would go the way of good at all costs. The beast that turns into a charming prince by true love's kiss. The princess woken up from an enchanting spell by a saving prince. The mighty Borough finally scoring a last-minute playoff final goal to make it back into the Premier League. And this line from John would suggest, not just in a 2D Disney sense, that these things, these longings that sneak up on us, are actually longings for our true home. Longings for good to win out, for triumph over evil, for these things to point to something more than just a fantasy. We see it even in the joyful moments in our everyday too, don't we? Throwback photos on Facebook or Insta that remind us of good times. The best kind of I can't quite believe it anecdotes down the pub, the greatest of mates, of family holidays, hobbies, and ambitions for our lives. We feel these things make life worth living, don't we? And it's the not so well kept secret that we're actually drawn to these things because we're related, all of us, to a God we belong to. That if you were to trace back those things that light up our lives like rays from the sun, you'd follow them back to the God of light and love and life behind everything, that warms everything. Julian Barnes, the atheist journalist and writer, recently said, "I don't believe in God, but I miss him." I wonder if that's you. Well, far from being just fun things or nice tales to escape in, these things, the Bible suggests, carry with them a very distant memory of a story that was once all of ours, all the time. John 1:11, found again in this text we've been reading out, suggests a little bit more of where we've gone wrong. Because the reality is, we still have this quiet desperation, don't we? The world isn't how we feel and hope it should be, let alone our own lives. And John 1:11 says this: He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. It's as if we've forgotten our place in God's family home. Bernard Levin, the journalist, said that countries like ours are full of people who have all the material comforts they desire, or at least need, together with such non-material blessings as a happy family, and yet lead lives of quiet and at times noisy desperation, understanding nothing but the fact that there is a hole inside them, and that however much food and drink they pour into it, however many car rides and TV and social media they stuff it with, however many well-balanced children and loyal friends they parade around the edges of it aches. Can I suggest to you that that aching is a Christmas story you were made to hope in but forgot? See, what this bit of the Bible in John gets at is this sense of us actively choosing to ignore the fact that God should be called family in our lives. It's not as if God's just kicked us out of our family home with him once we got a bit ratty, like a bit of a tiff with your in-laws over Christmas. It's that we've completely and utterly walked out on him being the father we were made for. And we feel the rough of that ache because, in fact, Jesus himself is that chief end of all of our longings. It's as if right now we're alive and yet we're fading fast. We're a bit like the Christmas tree ripped from its roots and stuffed in the corner of a house that looks beautiful on Christmas Day, but fast forward a month, and if it's real, it looks a lot less healthy. After a time of lighting up, we get to a bare tree with twigs dressed in battery dead bulb lights and tacky tinsel come January. The reality is, that is us at our very core in the way that we choose to relate to God. We chose, to quote what John 1:11, not to recognize him for who he is. And so all we're left with are these haunting clues of what we once were. And yet the good news is, God the Father chooses to bridge that gap by giving us his son. Not just so he can be like us, but so that Jesus could grow up to give himself over to the dark in us and our world and the eventual death that we were due, so that instead we could be completely forgiven and in restored relationship with him forever. We get to be welcomed back, receiving him into a great family home of light and love and life that way outlasts the Christmas feels, with the promise that one day when King Jesus comes back again, all our great desires will be met in a completely healed and whole again world, even beyond the hopes of a vaccine. God took a record drop to relate to us, and we can be related to God again. Now, if any of this has struck a chord, I'd suggest making some time to explore this. Trust me here, I didn't come from a religious home. I sort of accidentally found my life just begin to transform entirely the moment I realized my neediness for Jesus and was met with the love of a very real God. Why not read John, that ancient newspaper that we've been reading from tonight about Jesus' life? Or check out Alpha in the new year. I know St. Barnabas are putting on a very course looking at who Jesus is. Perhaps, though, you sense that it's suddenly a bit more urgent for you right now as you hear this watching from your side of the screen, and you feel like, you know what? I'd love to know God in the way that Joe and my mates at St. Barnabas talk about. Well, John 1:12 says, Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, He gave the right to become children of God. There is an offer of family life forever there with Jesus, a child of a heavenly father. If that is you, I thought I'd offer a moment for you to just ask God to know him in that way. I'm going to talk with God now, and if you'd like to, you can join in with this simple prayer that I'm about to pray from wherever you are, and just make these words your own if you'd like to say yes to this offer of being God's child. Okay, so I'll pray, and why not pray with me if you'd like to? Father God, thank you that Jesus left the heights of heaven to know me and save me. Forgive me for walking out on the family home. Please receive me, God, as your own again, as I choose to receive you. In your name.